Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
They're not bad on camera. They just need more guidance on certain things. Then editing obviously comes into play.
How would you guide me to get comfortable with using social media?
We start building it bit by bit, and then you have to consistently show up. Sometimes I'm tired, but I'm like, something that makes me excited. And I'm like, why don't I just document my path to documenting how to make $300,000 as a social media manager? Things get harder. I'm stuck here and I need more help. And even when we have the resources for them to reach out and ask questions, they don't utilize. At every level, even right now, the level that I'm at, I'm getting challenged in a different way. I'm starting to think I'm a little bit of an introvert, but I don't know. Everyone has mixed opinions about that. I think I'm just really good at faking it sometimes.
Thank you for coming on to the episode. So I just want to ask you, why social media?
So I went into social media marketing mostly by accident. I was just doing it as a side gig to help out my sister and her business when I first started. I dived a little more into it. I was sitting in my cubicle and it was like 7 p.m. at night. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I was out there enjoying life and not in this cubicle. So I actually looked up, how can I make money in travel? And the first thing that popped up was, you know, it was talking about digital marketing in general. And I just went down the rabbit hole and, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I'm here.
So being on the outside looking in, it looked like everything was easy. It looked like the journey was seamless, like you didn't have no issues, you had no problem, like everything went in your favor. Was there ever a moment where you doubted your ability to get into social media?
Yes. I don't think I'm the biggest. I was the biggest social media person. I didn't have this large following. I wasn't like posting content. I'm definitely not the typical girl that's like an influencer by any means. It took time. It also took a lot of, you know, effort as far as confidence building to show up on video. So it didn't come naturally to me, but I really just saw it as a pathway to let me try this out and see where it takes me.
I like how you said it wasn't natural on camera.
Not at all.
Well, people don't understand, like, that's really difficult to get to be yourself on camera. And then when I started half a decade ago, I was learning how to be on camera, but I didn't understand that you're really building your confidence up, because now you don't have to worry about anybody else. You're judging yourself. And sometimes, many times, the video come out pretty good. How did you start building your confidence to get more confident on camera?
I would say the biggest thing is you keep showing up. Oh, it froze. Just making sure that you can still see me.
Oh, well, okay.
Can you see me?
Yes, I can. Let's see now. Thank you for letting me know that.
Perfect. There we are. Okay. How I built my confidence up is really to show up. One of my professors told me this. I know it's a quote that he took from a book that he read. It's like 80% of the job is to just show up. And I figured if I kept showing up on camera, if I just kept showing up for my clients and just kept doing it over and over, right? Repetition eventually turns you into the master. And that was something that I really took. And again, if you saw my first reel that I ever made, I think I look so silly. I'm like pointing, I don't even know what I'm doing. And now I guide other people on how to show up on camera. And it's one of those things that you just sort of pick up over time. So I always tell people to just, I push them and I'm like, just do it. Like, You know, your first video is always going to suck. Your first interview is always going to suck. Like your first anything is not going to be the best, but your 100th video, it will be. Your 100th time that you show up for your clients or in a meeting or even when you're speaking, it's going to be way better than your first time.
And the first time is the most scariest time, because how do you know that you're doing something right? How do you know that it won't be as bad? How do you not self-talk yourself out of doing something that will potentially help you in a way to build your confidence? Like, how do you help your clients get over fear?
So I would say the biggest thing with a lot of clients that we work with, one, if you put a nice price tag on it, they're going to want to show up. The second part to that is really going over, like, they're not bad on camera. They just need more guidance on certain things. Then editing obviously comes into play. But the way I tell everyone, it's like, you have to, if you want to build a brand, especially for, you know, a business, a big company. I mean, I just saw a reel, the Brandon Police did a whole Valentine's reel. It was so funny. And they're like, well, if your significant other for Valentine's Day has made you mad and they've been talking about outstanding warrants, just go ahead and give us a call. And I thought it was the funniest thing, but this is like, this is the police department making these videos. And I think, like, okay, these are people not typically like on camera like that, they're doing interviews, things like that are fun. And they still got, you know, at the direction, I'm sure, from their social media manager to show up on camera. And that's how I guide most of my clients. I'm like, listen, if they can do it, you can do it. And I'll show them an example. They're like, okay, I got this. And then typically I just tell them, like, give me 5 videos and I'll filter them out and see which one's better.
So you're very strategic by the way you help your clients.
Yeah. It's okay. All about, like, I don't, because I will tell them, like, listen, if it's bad, I'm not using it. Simple as that. And I will be honest, and they appreciate that. But if it's good, then we'll utilize it. And then we typically take a really high performing video and, you know, we replicate that. But, you know, nowadays, if you see what our algorithm is doing, now that we're just going to little like pivot to the algorithm side, people don't care for these like 4K high production videos. They look nice. Don't get me wrong. But what they really care is if I pick up my phone and I'm like selfie mode, just talking about something that's relevant and that connects with people, which is why a lot of ads that you're seeing now, they're using UGC, which is user generated content. They're putting their products in the hands of individuals like us and just making these raw reviews. Like, you know, Skims is very known for this, the Kim Kardashian brand, and where they're like, okay, well, I don't know if this is going to fit me. And then they try it on. They're like, oh my God, this fits me. So that's a perfect example of how they're leveraging that to grow their own brand.
One thing that I learned about learning more about business, social media marketing, and understanding more about what I'm doing today is that the information that others give is very broad because it's not specific to me. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I was your client. You know, we never met before, and I come to you and be like, hey, Rosalind, I'm thinking about getting into social media. I don't have a social media platform. I don't do anything on camera. How would you guide me to say, okay, first off, that's okay. Second off, how would you guide me to get comfortable with using social media?
Okay, so we'll do like a mini strategy session here, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so first of all, I would ask you what your industry is, what your goals are.
Okay.
Then I'll tell me, do we go more on the LinkedIn route or do we go more on the TikTok route, right? So let's say you are trying to grow your personal brand, so you're probably going to go a little more on the TikTok, Instagram route. So the next thing I would tell you, it's like, all right, so let's talk about your 3 points. What is the value and the authority that you're trying to build among your audience? Like, what do you want Charles to be known for? You know, for example, like, I'll use myself as an example. I'm very much, if someone thinks of Rosen, they're going to think business. They're going to think, you know, feminine. They're going to think faith, right? What does Terrell want to be known for? And then around those, you know, key words, those phrases, we build your entire persona up in the scripts. So I would say, okay, like, these are 5 scripts. Put your phone up. Sometimes I'm there guiding or my creative director is guiding, and we'll just film content based on that. All right. So we'll do a batching. I call it, like, just carve out 4 hours of your month, okay? Sunday, let's do 12 to 4. And we're just going to batch a bunch of content, right? It's going to be raw. It's going to be unedited. And you're just going to hand that over to us and we take care of the rest. simple as that. And that's why having a social media manager is so effective for a lot of companies, because it allows them to take time back in their day. With small business owners, it's a little harder sometimes because maybe they don't have the wide budget for a whole team, but it does help build the brands. So that we also offer smaller packages for them as well. But that's how I would handle yours, Terrell. I would say, what do you want to be known for? What, like, when I think of Terrell, someone says your name, what are the three things that should pop in my head, right? And podcast should be one of them. So we leverage that on TikTok and Instagram. We obviously have to use Facebook. I know everyone hates Facebook. But I'm sorry, Facebook and Instagram are married together. Until they get a divorce, we can't do anything about it. And then we go from there. And if you're large, if your audience primarily is male, then we're going to have to go over to X as well. YouTube is obviously very big when it comes to the podcasting world. So leverage that on YouTube Shorts. We start building it bit by bit, and then you have to consistently show up. I'm like, I have someone messaged me that they're like, I didn't know that you were in Miami. And I was like, I'm not. That's something I filmed like last year. It looks nice, and it's B-roll content.
That was amazing. That was amazing. And the fact that you was able to do that on the spot makes you even more of an expert, because the amount of times, the amount of repetition, the amount of effort that you put into learning more about social media, how to help others, and how to really position not only just yourself, but your company as well. Speaking of companies and different organizations, why should businesses or entrepreneurs or small businesses really have a social media presence?
If you're not utilizing social media for whatever industry you're in, you're really, it's like you're not utilizing the internet. You know, think of how silly that sounds, right? If a business says, yeah, we don't believe in the internet, that's the equivalent of not utilizing social media right now, especially in the world that we are currently in. I mean, we are, you know, I was talking to other social media marketers, like, we're at the era of what the internet was, the internet boom that people talk about, right? And the people that made their billions of dollars selling their software companies during that time frame. Like, that is where we're at now with social media and AI. And if you're not hopping on that bandwagon that people like to talk about, then you're really missing out. You know, I talk to a lot of older companies sometimes, and they're so stuck in their ways. We don't need it. It's not for this. I'm like, if waste management has figured out a way to utilize social media, if the police has figured out utilize social media, if the airport, I don't know if you guys follow the Tampa airport, social media, it's so funny. If they've been able to leverage it to not only, you know, inform their audience, but also handle PR crisis, right? Because it's a really great way to do so, and promote flying into their airport, then you should be utilizing it for your business. And I think anyone who's not doing that, they're going to have a very hard time the next 2 years trying to actually grow in any capacity, because people don't know who they are, especially with our generation. Anything, I'm a Gen Z millennial. I'm that middle gap. I'm kind of in a weird phase. But if you know, the people that are moving to the city, especially the big cities, it's going to be people like millennials and Gen Zers. And, you know, we work with a lot of med spas, and they'll be like, well, you know, most of our clients right now they're older, so they're not really on there. And I'm like, yes, most of your clients are 70 plus. There is a time frame for certain things. And right now, the people that are constantly getting these procedures and getting these facials are also individuals in my age group. You know, and I think you're just missing out on the whole, like, well, they just want to be stuck. We've never had to utilize it. It's never been important. I'm like, well, have fun growing in a few years, because you will stay behind and you're going to eventually close doors. Unfortunately, I hate to even say things like that, but it's the fact that some people are just stubborn, and you have to adopt it today. Otherwise, you will get stuck in the past. And it's the equivalent, again, of you telling me, we don't believe in the internet.
I watched there was this movie called was it The Social Crisis with Mark Zuckerberg, when Facebook had first got out or first came out?
The movie about him.
The movie about it.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, you know exactly which one I'm talking about. So as I'm watching it, the first time I watched it, of course you're watching the movie for entertainment, and you don't really catch the lessons and everything that's going on. Then when I watch it again, I'm like, hold on. Mark Zuckerberg was really onto something, and he saw a vision, a platform, an opportunity,
Because if he could bring so many people on one platform and he owned that data and he owned that community, he just changed the world. And as the world is constantly changing, there are people that don't want to change, as you mentioned. How do you work with those that don't want to change? They say, I'm not worried about social media. Social media is not going to affect me. I'm worried about what we're doing today, and I'm only focusing on this. How do you not worry about the people that don't want to change?
Well, the people that are saying it doesn't matter today, they're already behind, you know, because social media has been out. So it's, again, saying I don't utilize or believe in utilizing the internet. How I typically handle these conversations, because a lot, sometimes we'll work with like a lot of companies, so they'll have like marketing teams. The marketing teams are typically like on it. They're great to work with. We become an extension of their marketing team, but their board bites me on a lot of things, you know, cause mostly because they don't understand social media. They pretend like they do, but they honestly don't. I can tell sometimes when they cite certain things and I was like, you didn't know what that meant. You know, someone suggested something and they were just trying to be, you know, is this a clean cut, no cussing podcast?
Yeah, no, be yourself, be yourself.
They were smart asses. You know, they tried to say something and I was like, that makes no sense. So I asked one question and I was like, well, what does a QR code do? And they're like, because they were trying to post a QR code on the phone, like as a post. And I was like, why would you do that? They're like, to get more people on the website. I'm like, but then they're looking at it on their phone. So how can they scan the QR code on their phone? If you're, you know, I was like, you print it out, you post it somewhere so they can scan it with their phone, not so they can look at it on the social media account. And it was just so silly. And things like that, that people mentioned to me, and I'm like, they're just trying to be smart asses because they think they can always do better. And I'm like, listen, I don't like doing accounting. I have an accountant. He's great. You know, things I have to know, but outside of that, I will not pretend to be an accountant by any means. And I think with those conversations, you have to, one, hear them out. Two, you also have to kind of play the game a little bit, where most of the time they want to be heard and they're just afraid because people don't like change. I go into these companies and most of them are double, triple my age. So what is this girl in her 20s going in and lecturing them on how to change their entire strategy? Right. And obviously they look down on me. They, you know, well, we don't need that. She's young. You know, this is just the thing that will fade. And I will give them statistics. I will give them facts. And eventually they can't fight me on it to a degree. I'm like, let me show you how this actually works and can help you in the long run. And over time, it's funny how this happens. Once they start seeing how social media is only growing from here, by the way, it's like, it's not going away. It's just growing. There's more platforms, more everything. They're like, oh crap. Like we can't do without a social media manager. So it's something that doesn't, it's not overnight. It's definitely a lot of conversations, a lot of fighting. I don't fight with them, but they definitely like to throw some words at me sometimes. And I was like, listen, like I'm just here to manage your accounts and grow your brand. If, you know, if you don't like something, then take it up with the rest of your team. I think it's, they're scared. They don't know. It's, if you're coming into their baby, their company that they've built from the ground up often, or a board of people who are double, triple my age, they're scared of what could happen. And they're scared of social media because they've seen crazy PR issues out there. And I'm like, listen, if you have to kind of push the boundaries. You got to be fun with it too. You know, go with the @FlyTPA social media account. I'm telling you, I actually met their director of marketing at an event. And I was like, listen, I stood up in front of the entire event. I was like, you have one of the best social media accounts out there next to Duolingo.
Wow. And the fact that you're able to experience and communicate and be understanding shows your level of professionalism. Before you was able to understand, gain the experience and get your feet wet in the social media industry, what was your biggest failure?
My biggest failure was definitely, I would say, it happened with contracts. And what do I mean by that? So a lot of people don't realize when you work in business, especially in marketing, you have these contracts, right? Well, you should. If you don't, you need to start implementing that. And I didn't really know about terms and like the termination clauses. So I would sign a client, be like, oh yeah, 6 month minimum, great, blah, blah, blah. But I never put a clause in there. What if they wanted to leave early? You know, and that really screwed me over because I had to hire extra people at the time to help me assist with that one specific client. And, you know, that was a hard lesson for me because it disrupted my entire flow of income. Now I have an extra mouth to feed my team, like a bunch of things. Because your team at the end of the day, like it relies on you, right? So it's not like it's not their problem. Like I have to think how they're going to get paid. So that was a really, to me, like I say failure in the sense of like you have to learn to fail. And I think that's something that you kind of adopt over time. Like I'm going through a next stage of my business right now that, you know, someone reminded me, they're like, you know, what used to be your goal is now your minimum that you have to reach in revenue. And they're like, that's called growth. But I'm like, yeah, but I still need to do it. And they're like, but that's called growth. You have to acknowledge that. And now you're being stretched out. And it's like, you have to learn to fail over time, because success is great, but success is one of the worst teachers, because you get the pat in the back and you feel proud and you feel great. But it's not till you fail and then you have to learn how to get back up and do it again where you're like, oh crap, I like actually overcame that. How awesome is that?
That's interesting. One thing that I also learned about failure is that you have to fail fast. I did a 90-day challenge to make $100,000. And needless to say, I only made $217. Mm-hmm. But every day from the 90-day challenge that I was doing, it was something new. It was about emails. It was about marketing. It was about communications, about automation. It was about me setting things up to the point where it can be repeatable. But if I didn't do the 90-day challenge, I wouldn't be able to fail fast to learn the lessons. One person in the comments that was like, you could have worked at McDonald's and made more. I said, huh. I did the calculations. I said, yeah, you're probably right. I could have made $6,570 or somewhere around there within a span of 3 months. But I want to gain the experience, the knowledge, the understanding about business and marketing, communications and sales and things of that nature. And since you're able to fail fast, you learn a lot more quicker.
Yes. I think a lot of it is, and that's, again, you're kind of learning those lessons. I'm the biggest advocate for hiring a coach or having a mentor, because they've already, like, you don't have to repeat a lot of the mistakes. Every year, actually, I invest money into some form of mentorship or coaching. And I'm like, I say, I'm always a student of life. And they always teach me something that I didn't otherwise know. And I still don't know what this year is going to look like. I have an idea who I'm going to invest in. But, you know, right now I'm even documenting because I have an academy that I launched. I launched it a year and a half ago. I teach other women how to become social media managers. And, you know, I realized, I'm like, why am I, like, I want to post content, but I was like, maybe I need to just have a whole new fresh account. And I'm like, I had this crazy idea the other day. I was like, okay, why don't I just document? Because sometimes I have so many accounts I manage that in my head, I'm like, I sometimes I'm tired, but I'm like, something that makes me excited. And I'm like, why don't I just document my path to documenting, you know, how to make $300,000 as a social media manager. And, you know, already making like the six-figure mark and everything else like that is great. And I teach others how to do that, but like, let me document the next path. One, it holds me accountable. Too, it kind of pushes you, because now you kind of have to show up and make it happen, right? And three, it allows them to learn, because I'm able to talk about like why I can make, like why I put that specific goal. And that's not something that's just like a random number out there, you know. And I do preface to people like this, I'm not starting from scratch. I have learned a lot of lessons. This is what I'm going to do differently this time, because they always tell you your first $100,000 is the hardest to make. And I could agree with that statement. When you're trying to go to the next level, it all comes down to strategy, not necessarily working harder. And that's where I'm at. So I'm documenting that. And I was like, well, check in on New Year's Eve to see how we do.
Are you doing it by day, or are you just recording on a daily activity?
I'm doing it day. So like today's day three. Okay. So yeah, today's day three. So we'll see. Like I'm excited. And a lot of it is like, I'm doing it mostly like, okay, day three, like this is the topic that we're going to talk about. And I'm posting some other content with tips, but also like a little bit of lifestyle to who I am. Cause here's the thing, like I'm not just Rosalind, the social media manager, Rosalind, like the boss or anything like that. Like, I am Rosalind, the person who loves to travel. And I'm always a big believer that whatever you pursue, like, you have to work hard. If you want to be an entrepreneur, just know that it's not, I don't sell the get rich quickly sort of thing, you know, that people often sell, because it's not, it's good. You're going to hit a hard reality if that's what you think it is. But you can create a business that actually is around your lifestyle. And for example, I like traveling. Traveling is huge to me. It's a big part of who I am. So I will post, like, I went to Paris in November. I was still working the entire time I was over there, by the way. I was still taking calls. I was still, you know, but I was sitting there and I was like, this is awesome. This is actually why I started an agency, so I can travel and, you know, be the Emily in Paris, and just like a fun thing to do. But also, like, it lit up this fire underneath me of, like, reminding me why I started an agency to begin with. Because sometimes we get stuck in the redundancy and the next thing. We're not enjoying, like, why did I start this to begin with? And, you know, a lot of people tell me, just always go back to your why. Whenever you want to give up, go back to your why. And then I heard this recently from, he's the owner of Selling New York. He was talking about, he's like, if you want to quit, quit on your best day, not your worst day. And that blew my mind, because, you know, we've all been there where we wanted to quit. I know I wanted to quit. And I heard that they're like, if you want to quit, just, you know, go quit on your best day. If you still want to quit on your best day, then you should quit. But if you are going to quit on your worst day, then you're consistently going to quit over a lot of other things you're going to choose.
With your academy, since you're teaching people how to get started into social media and have a social media agency, how do you teach them to focus on the why, even when times are good, to focus on the why, even when it's bad, to focus on the why when you're steady? How do you teach them to say everything that you're going to go through is preparing you for the next thing? And how do you show the importance behind it?
So my academy is called Big Business Energy Academy. And the origin, I have to, like, actually say the origin of the name. Every time I still do this, I send a client, I play the song Big Energy. I think it's by Later Lotto. But I play that song and I just, like, do my little dance and I celebrate it. Every single contract, no matter how small or large. So I remember listening to that song and I was like, you know, I'm all about, like, having, you know, the biggest thing top was, like, law of attraction. And it's like, you really have to show up in a different mindset, and if people want to work with you, not necessarily the business itself. So who do you stand for? What do you stand for? And I realized, like, it's all about the energy you radiate. So the first module in my academy actually goes over mindset. And the reason I did this, I'm going to preface, I will not pretend like I'm this big mindset coach by any means. Maybe one day I'll be. But I'm more on the business side of things. And we go over mindset because what students lack a lot of the time, a lot of people lack, is the right mindset. Like, I can give you the entire blueprint on making your six figures and everything like that. You could follow down to the T, right? And I can guarantee you're probably not going to get to it unless you have the right mindset. Why? Because individuals, like, they don't realize, like, it's going to get hard. Motivation to me is, it's just an emotion. It's just a feeling. Like, you're happy one day, you're sad the next, right? You're mad. It's the discipline and the mindset to keep going. So that's why I cover in module one all about mindset. We talk about law of attraction. We talk about the mindset you need to have even when you want to give up. Because the rest of the modules, I'm going to touch on how to create content, how to be a kick-ass social media manager, how to generate money and travel and do all these things. But you won't get to any of those until you have the right mindset. Some people want to skip that part and go straight into, just tell me how to be a social media manager. And, like, you're missing the whole point of it. Like, if you don't have the ability to attract the right amount of clients or even have the conversations or confidence, right? Especially once you start working with larger clients and they're going to come at you. Well, it's too hard. It gives me anxiety. I don't like it. It's because you never worked on your mindset. And every level, even right now, the level that I'm at, I'm getting challenged in a different way. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, this is okay. Now I have to work on my new mindset. You know, it's always evolving.
It is. You say one day, you're not gonna, you say right now, you're not a big mindset person, but you're constantly working on yourself. I would beg to differ to say that you are a big mindset person. You're just bringing it to light right now. to the point where others can start seeing the importance behind it. Yes, if you don't have the right mindset, you're not going to make the goal that you are working towards. Whereas you've been developing your mindset for so long, and it's at the point where you're able to see your results, see your hard work, and see everything that you've been into. Have you ever, now this is a random question, have you ever thought about like writing a book and sharing your story that way?
So that is on my list of many things to do.
Okay.
A couple of books actually. But I think right now for me, it's putting this into the academy. And, you know, I've done one-on-one coaching with several students too. I think it's kind of dumping all that energy into them right now before I dive into the book version, like speaking even, you know, we met because I was speaking at Kaiser University, and there's something about it that even like when I speak to others, it creates some, I can't explain it. Like I feel like I'm on top of the world, and I just want like everyone to succeed. And that to me drives me, because when I see individuals who, you know, they'll tell me like, oh, I can't do this because X, Y, Z. And I will just say that's an excuse. You know, I've had people who have several kids and have been able to still launch their businesses and been able to, they have to maybe wake up an hour early, sacrifice this, sacrifice that. Like oftentimes I will go through, some of my students will be like, well, I don't have time for something. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go audit your calendar. So open up your calendar, and I'll make them open up their calendar. And I'm like, okay, well, what is it you're like non-negotiable you have to do? Well, I have to go to work. Great. So from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., just block that out. You have to go to work. Can't switch that, right? All right, well, I have to work out. Okay, well, maybe instead of working out 3 hours, maybe you work out for an hour and a half. Okay. They start putting things, and I was like, well, they're like, well, but I have to hang out Friday, Friday, and Saturday. And I was like, do you? I was like, so I start seeing, I'm like, you're telling me you want this, but you're not willing to give up this part of maybe like, I'm not saying don't have a social life, but you're expecting to do it all. And here's the thing, like, I believe you can do it all once you get to a certain point, but I definitely didn't have time for Netflix when I first started. I didn't have time for hanging out with my friends just like that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Like, I was building. And my friends understood that. The ones that supported me and are still in my life understood that I had to disappear for a little bit to gain that traction, to kind of keep going and figure life out that way. So it really, to me, it comes down to priorities. I don't think there's no such thing as being too busy, because trust me, I've met doctors who work 12, 14-hour days and still make it to the kids' basketball games and all these things. It just comes down to priorities. And if you don't have, like, if your business is not your number one priority, you know, it's never going to work out. It's because it's a baby. It's essentially something you're raising and growing. And if you're saying your friends come here and then here's your business, well, I don't know what to tell you then. And no one's going to fix that for you. You have to realize that you got to change that mindset of yours and what you truly want.
I mentioned that it was a random question. And I love how you answered it. But here's a more focused question, because one thing I learned while being on this journey is that now is the focus. I want to succeed now. I want to hit my goal now. I want to do what I put my mind to now. And in reality, that's not a thing. It's not a thing that anyone should be pursuing, because if you're pursuing now, what are you pursuing for the future? With your academy, with the Big Energy Academy, how do you teach them to say, hey, I understand that you want to have a life. I understand that you have goals that you want to achieve right now, which there's no problem at all. But how do you really inform the importance of sacrificing so you can start preparing for your future rather than living in the now?
Are you talking about how do I address my students?
Yes.
So I think one is just the mindset module. The short-term gratification is very common among Gen Zers, especially, which is typically the students that I tend to attract. Here's my thing. You know, that's why I'm like, you guys have to be willing to put in the work. And this only works if you sit down and are honest with yourself. Now, I think I attract, like, I can see students, like, progress. I can see which one's on and which one isn't on it. And I really start seeing, like, you know, people don't realize, like, oh, well, why don't you just give out everything for free? I was like, because when you spend money on something, it kind of commits you to making it happen, right? Like my first courses, I maxed out my credit card. And that made me want to show up and take those courses, which eventually led to me to do what I do now, right? Because I invested in it, right? Like you show up to college because you're investing it heavily, right? Things like that. And that's one, how I keep people accountable. But two, it also comes down to, hey, you guys know this takes time. Like my academy, my courses, they're some of them are short because I do have multiple courses, but the one that's the in-demand social media manager, which is the one that does take you, if you can complete it within a month and you're taking a module every day, realistically, you can get it done. But most people aren't going to do that because, well, things get harder. I'm stuck here and I need more help. And even when we have the resources for them to reach out and ask questions, they don't utilize, or I have, you know, this birthday and that birthday and this. And I'm like, okay, I can't force anyone to do anything. It's something that you have to wake up and do. I don't, like I said, so in the beginning, you said people see from the outside, not realizing the struggles that everything that I've encountered a lot in business. And I think it's funny because when someone's like, well, life's just been a little like easier for you. And I was like, no, I've had to give up like a relationship to have this business. You know, I've had to leave a different city. I had to move back with my parents. I gave up so many things to be where I am today and live where I want to live, simply because I knew that I was looking at the long-term vision. And I would say, like, stick to that long-term vision, break it down to quarterly goals and break it down to monthly goals, and then break them down to weekly goals. You know, even when, like right now, I'm a little like run down, I was mentioning, but I was like, okay, even if I send out like 5 emails today, I just moved the needle a little bit more than what I was doing yesterday. And it's all about just getting a little bit better each day, because it does add up, guys. Like it took me, like my first 6 months in business, I don't even like to count, but I was just like, all right, today I'm going to just register on SunBiz, my business, and have a tax ID number. Simple as that. But I think about how small and stupid that sounds. And I'm like, wait, if I would have never done that, I would have never have even had a business. Or I'm just going to have a website and work on the homepage, and it's going to take me 2 weeks to just create a homepage. But if I would have started with that one website, then I wouldn't have had my first paying client.
I read an article, and you just mentioned it right here about you. And you said in the article that you maxed out your credit cards, and you just mentioned that here.
Yeah.
A while ago, my first, not necessarily my first conference, but a conference that I had went to, there was a guy that got on stage, and his name was Bill Allen. He's in real estate. He had an event over 1,000 people. And he got on stage to start selling from stage. But I didn't recognize he was selling from stage. But he informed us I had to learn how to sell from stage. And so they had a donation center. They had a mastermind for real estate. They had all these different things. Had American Express, and I paid $1,000 for the donation. And when you just made me think about that, you said that you maxed your credit cards out. I've maxed out my credit cards to the point where I'm only spending on education. I'm only spending to go to a particular place for a conference, an event, or to be around people that I can potentially learn from. You risked it all. Why do you think risking for your future is so important?
Because I don't think that's, like, I don't like using the word I'm spent money. It's not to me spending, it's investing. So think about it. You invest in something that you're going to get a return on. And the best investment you'll ever make your entire life will always be in yourself. So when I max this out and like, I still see like all these like things I want to invest in, like I didn't see that as like, oh crap, I'm in debt. No, I saw that as like, my return's going to be 10 times more than that. And it was. And I look back at that moment because I wasn't making much money. I'm like, I don't know how this is never going to get out of this, how I'm going to do any of it. I really look at it from the standpoint of like, I know I got to make it work. And it's all about investing. Like people don't realize that. They're like, well, that's a lot of money for me. I'm like, listen, now there's payment softwares and that's included. So, you know, if you guys are interested in joining Big Business Energy Academy, there's payment plans for it. There's no excuse. It's just about jumping in and doing it. At that time, there was no payment plan, so I really had to go full in on it. But it just, to me, it's not bad. Like, there's top of bad debt and good debt, and there's really just this thing called investing and not spending. Also, like, I rather, like, you know, someone was telling me, well, I don't have money for this. I'm like, really? So let's see what you do on the weekend. I was like, well, you just spent $50 there, and then you just spent another $50 there, and you spent another $30 there. That's what, $130 right there that you spent on one weekend on drinks and partying. And you're telling me you can't reallocate that money, and you just, you know, like, I'll go to a lot of luncheon events. And some of these luncheon events, I'm paying $70 for a lunch. Now, I am being surrounded by the top business people in Tampa Bay. I want to be in these rooms. And that, to me, is worth so much more than, it's not that the lunch is worth $70. Half time, it's not. It's the connections and the networking, the rooms that you get to enter. You know, sometimes people are like, well, I don't have money to do this. I'm like, find the resources, Uber. You know, I did Uber in college. I'm like, do things that are so outside the box to get those means and funds that you're willing, like, you know, right now we just, I know you and I talked like funding a lot. So I'm this next stage of my life where, you know, I'm getting funding to increase certain parts of my agency. And, you know, I am in a different, you know, I know we talked about like fundings and different opportunities and how to go about them. I was in a position though where I got approved for funding pretty quickly because I've never one pulled out funding from business, and two, I could just show my statements and boom, right? So things like that, it's like, it does pay off, but people just want, oh, well, it's 6 months, I don't see the result. It's a year, I don't see results. I'm like, do this for years. Like Thomas Edison, and he like tried the light bulb for what it was like so many times. And he said, like, it's not that I failed that many times. It's like, I just found this many times that it didn't work. And this thing was like over 300 something tries, you know? And it's like, you just find 300 ways that it just didn't work. So you're going to try another way.
And keep trying until you figure it out. And Babe Ruth was like, did you know that Babe Ruth was known for getting striked out as well?
No.
He had as many strikeouts just as much as the home runs, but he's known for the home runs. And somebody asked him one day, was like, are you worried about striking out? Are you worried about like hitting it this time? He said, no, I'm focused on the next home run. I'm focused on hitting it. It's going to be a home run. There's lessons that we go through, and everything that we are experiencing is preparing you not only for today, but for your future. And you are understanding that one is an investment because you had a mindset shift. And you're understanding more about that if you spend things on things that you would like, maybe you can spend things on an investment, or maybe you can be in the room. Many times the food is not worth it, but the conversation that you have, because if you spend $70, the person next to you just spent $70 as well. So y'all in this room because I have the same understanding of what y'all are looking for within this room.
Yeah. And it's about, like, networking connections is so big. I mean, to me, it's everything. It's how I've landed my biggest clients. It also allows for you to build your reputation, which is huge in this industry, especially the brand building industry. I think a lot of people nowadays, they just want that, like, well, why am I not rich tomorrow? I'm like, you got to do it every day. You got to show up even when you're failing. And that's a really hard thing to do. Like, you know, I got asked actually last week, and they were like, well, Rosalind, how do you, like, you know, like, lead your team? And because I wasn't feeling the best. And I was like, how do you lead your team when you're not feeling the best? And I was like, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. Like, I don't get to show up on my team's call and telling them, like, guys, I'm having the worst day of my life, which means it's gonna be the worst day of your life. Which, like, no, I don't get to do that. And everyone wants to be a boss until they have to be a boss. And even Elon Musk mentioned that. And it was like, you don't want sometimes to be the boss. Like, it's not always the easiest thing. But if you actually go in and, like, to go with a mindset of, like, I'm going to solve problems. Because here's the thing, like, people, like, problems are bad. No, problems are good if you want to be an entrepreneur. Because if you're a great entrepreneur, then you understand the concept that what you do as an entrepreneur is to bring solutions to these problems. And if no problems existed, there would be no role for the entrepreneur out there. So social media management, right? The problem typically is I don't have time or I don't know how to build a brand. Great. Those are two problems. We are the solution. You know, things like that. And every capacity people have to find, like, problems are naturally going to show up. It's expecting to become a doctor and not having sick patients. You know, it's what I tell people. I'm like, if you're trying to be an entrepreneur and you're expecting no problems, you're in the wrong field.
I definitely agree. Well, you mentioned networking. Okay, let's say hypothetically speaking, I'm an introvert. I'm not as outgoing. I'm not as outspoken. How do you teach someone that the importance of growing your business is to learn how to network and connect with other people? How do you teach how to network with others?
So it's funny. I'm starting to think I'm a little bit of an introvert, but I don't know. Everyone has mixed opinions about that. I think I'm just really good at faking it sometimes. So I've met a lot of, you know, people who told me like, hey, I'm actually kind of pretty much an introvert, and yet they still showed up on like camera and they still show up to events. So I asked them like, how do you do it? You know? And they're like, well, you just keep showing up. It sounds so simple, but it's like, sometimes I don't want to go to certain events because I'm not feeling like my ultimate social self, but I still show up and do it. I know people are like, well, I don't want to talk. Fine. Then just stand there. Stand there because someone will eventually probably go up to you, someone like myself. And I'll be like, hi, my name's Rosalyn. Nice to meet you. What brings you here? You know, and just sticking to who you are authentically. There are obviously strategies to network and, you know, things like that. Because some people, you know, my first networking event that I went to, I was so awkward. I was like, oh gosh, why am I here? I'm so small. Like, you know, all these people are like, you know, older and everything else. But it was good. It wasn't the best, but I still did it. Because then I got to go to my second event and third event. And eventually once you start showing up to the same, you know, groups, you kind of meet people and you realize these are the same people that were at the other event. It's great. Now they get to know you deeper. Because it's not just about shaking their hand once. It's about building that connection. Someone told me, you know, business is all about relationships. So you network with them via LinkedIn, right? Maybe you shoot them a happy birthday text. Maybe you shoot them an email and grab coffee. One of the things sometimes they do is like, I'll go grab coffee with someone. You know, I'm like, well, how can I help you? They'll ask me how they can help me. I've gotten clients from people who like, hey, Rosen, I heard that you do social media. I just launched this new company. Like, can you help me out? Great. Right. And some of them I've just met on just social media and that's it. Like this girl it's my accountability partner. She has an agency. She runs it off in Portugal. I've never met her in person, but we call each other monthly and we just hold each other accountable and our goals and everything like that. And we just vent to each other. So sometimes you make those pen pals via, you know, the digital world.
The digital world is so much more powerful than we can ever imagine because you're meeting strangers. And you're connecting with them because your relationship is strengthening. The more you show up, the more you communicate, and the more you just like check in. Like many times you don't have to ask for anything or see if you can help. Just checking in is pretty good. And the fact that you have a pen pal? You say a pen
pal? Accountability partner. It's what we call each other, accountability partners. We call it boss babe catch up.
What is it called?
Boss babe catch up.
Boss babe catch up.
Catch up. Yeah, so we catch up on like, you know, and so things like that. But I think it's just really keep doing thing over and over. Eventually, you kind of just have to place yourself, like get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And once you kind of go through it in repetition, like, you know, there's certain things that to me, it does come a little easier. But there's other times that I'm like, people don't realize. I'm like, I really like that was, I've shown up to a meeting one time for a client and I didn't know they expected a whole presentation, you know, that wasn't announced to me, anything like that. They wanted a whole presentation. So I'm sitting there. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to come up with a presentation on the spot. So I get up and I present to them. I didn't really have notes or anything like that. I didn't have a presentation prepared. Okay. Well, this is the direction we need to head in. And they're like, okay, great. Thanks for letting us know. That was like an hour presentation, an hour. And I leave, I get in the car and I'm like, start sweating. And I was like, I cannot believe I just did that. And then I've been in situations where I thought I was presenting to two people and then they bring their entire board members. And I'm like sitting there, I was like, oh my God, I didn't expect to present to like 10 board members right now. And it's, I don't know if you've met board members, but they are definitely come at you in a lot of ways. It's not like you're just presenting to a crowd. It's definitely like, well, they're gonna question you left and right about every tiny thing possible. And then you have to get your negotiator hat on. So, and again, I must have faked it very well because they're like, wow, this is a very put together presentation, everything like that. Great, we'll get back to you. I'm like, how did I just do that? I've walked into events for clients and I didn't know that they were like, well, you're gonna speak on behalf of us. And I'm like, am I? I have to not, think about this. This is not what I walked into, like what I thought I was gonna walk into. And they hand me the microphone and they're like, all right, you're representing the organization, you're gonna thank XYZ sponsor. And I'm like, who sponsors? With things like that, and it's like, oh gosh, like trust me when I say, and people don't notice this because they're like, well, that was really good at faking it. And I was like, inside my head, I'm like, I don't know how I just did that.
Preparation. You kept showing up. The amount of time that you've been showing up in camera, showing up in different meetings, showing up in different presentation, it's inside of you. And when it naturally comes out, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from your experience, your heart, and your craft of understanding social media and everything that you're doing. So, me personally, that's where I think it came from.
Well, I'm glad you think that. It's just like people, I'm like, I don't think someone's like, you're just always so put together. It's like, I call my director of operations and like, did I look put together when I did that? I didn't know.
The behind the scenes no one would ever see, but when you get in front of the scenes, that's when people be like, you're really well put together, you communicate well. Okay, well, what about when you started and you didn't communicate oh so well, when you first start picking up the camera, when you first start giving presentations? Like, you grow over time, like you just said, the more you show up, the more you will learn. So I do want to the last segment is called Best for Last, and it's where I ask four questions and you answer it in a quick response. You
Okay,
ready?
ready. Yeah.
Nice. So the first question is, what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for the support that I've had with my family and friends for this business. I couldn't have done it without them. So I'm always very grateful to the people around me and God, because I always say prayer is part of my business plan.
That's creative. That's good and creative. Well, what do you regret anything? Do you have any regrets?
I don't really say I have regrets because I think they're just lessons. If I could do something differently, it would be to not have self-funded my business, which is a very like not normal advice people typically won't like hear. I look at SBA loans, look at different methods, but I shouldn't like self-funding your business is definitely a lot harder and it puts you in tight spots and you can grow faster if you have the funding up front and other capacities. It also builds your business credit.
Okay. Well, what is the biggest lesson that you have learned by being in your entrepreneurship journey?
I would say it's not being afraid of being judged. So when I first started my journey, my path was, the traditional path, which is like go to college, go to law school, all these things. And I was afraid to tell people that I was gonna go the entrepreneurship route. I was embarrassed, frankly. I didn't know what I was gonna do, and I just felt so embarrassed of like, well, what are they gonna think? Oh, that person from high school is gonna say something. That person that like, people's opinions that you don't like, you're not even your friends, but you care so much about what they're gonna say behind your back. And I've just learned to like, who cares? One, they're not paying your bills. Two, like, are you going to stop your entire growth, your path, because of one or two individuals? And if you can't handle feedback of a few, how can you handle an audience of thousands? And that was something that really hit me when I heard that, because like, my dream is to be able to, I don't say dreams, I believe in goals, but like one of my goals is to be able to get in front and speak to large audiences and raise up the next generation of women entrepreneurs. And right now that's, for them to start social media marketing businesses, perhaps later on that's in other capacities. but how can I inspire them if I can't, you know, if I'm afraid of the few Chads and Brads of the world, they're going to be judging me because look at this woman who's showing up. And, you know, people say things sometimes, especially as a woman, you hear certain comments. I got this new apartment. I love my new apartment. It's in the high rise and everything else. And I was like, wow, like I literally live in my dream apartment. This is awesome. And I can't believe I'm here. And a man commented, I thought it was hilarious. They're like, that's not yours. Your dad must have paid for that. And it's things like that. Now, but my sister and I have this conversation. They're like, well, if you didn't get any hate trolls, then your reel didn't make it far out enough. Like we celebrate getting negative comments because that means if we're not getting negative trolls or negative messages, then that means our reel didn't perform as well. It's good to piss off some people sometimes.
That's true. What a good metric to track. I'm gonna have to use that one. The last question is, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
What is failure and knowledge? Failure is knowledge. To me, it's all about, what you stand for, Charles, it's about understanding that failing is part of the process and that they're just lessons. You only gain knowledge by learning the lessons, and the lessons that are going to be presented to you are through your failures. So you could sit there and get stuck looking at it like, oh, I failed. I'm never going to get back up. Or you could look at them like, this is just another day in class and I got a grade back, right? And typically, if you got a grade that wasn't so good, what should you do next? You should study more, right? So you're going to get back in the books and you're going to study more. So the next time you actually get an A. And that's how I see oftentimes in different metrics in my business. If I'm not doing so hot in this realm, then that means I'm performing at a DC level. How can I make it an A? So you change strategies, and that's all that is. You know, your failures are just your lessons. Those lessons eventually, if you learn them, turn into the knowledge that you need.
Rosalind, how can people learn more about the Big Energy Academy? How can they learn more about your social media agency? I forgot the name. Forgive me for that. But how can people connect with you and learn more about everything that you have going on?
So if you're trying to connect with me, it's called Tula Marketing Co. That's my social media marketing agency. So if you are looking for social media marketing services, you can connect with me at Tula Marketing Co. I'm on Instagram. I have a website. Tula is T-U-L-A. You just look up Tula Marketing. We're typically first on Google. But as far as Big Business Energy Academy, if you guys are looking to become such social media managers, go ahead and follow me at In Demand SMM, which stands for Social Media Manager. If you look up for at In Demand SMM or look up my name, Rosalind, you'll most likely find it. I'm actually tracking my journey to the next $300,000 as a social media manager. So you'll get a bunch of free tips and tricks. If you guys also sign up, we'll go ahead and give you a free demo on how to generate your first 10K month.
Wow. Rosalind, this has been incredible. I appreciate you. I'm about to start recording right now.